Hey guys, so you're watching the after show for Better Call Saul, and Jimmy's plan finally gets unraveled to us, or revealed, I should say, next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There it is, the intro. And we are at the midway point. Right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was just jamming out.
It's just, you gotta, feel it.
And it cuts. Just like we always do it. All right, cool. Oh, wait, no, we got the longer version. Never mind. All right. Hey guys, I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all... No, I'm sorry. Hey guys, you are watching the after show for Better Call Saul, episode 5. We're at midway point now. Chicanery is what they call it. And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media, at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And I'm joined by my panel, Steve Kaufman.
Hi, I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.
And we're joined by Zach. Wait. This
Nate.
Wait,
hold on.
This is wait. This
no,
isn't
I'm not Zach,
Zach Wilson. Wait,
no.
What? All right. Wait. Who are you?
I know. I kind of look like Zach, but
no. We got Nate Miller in the house.
Hey guys, I'm Nate Miller. You can find me on social media at DogLikeNate. Excited to be here.
Okay. Welcome, sir. So we're at the midway point, and I think this was a very satisfactory episode.
Yeah, there's been a lot of build up. There's been a lot of like people planning, and we know they're planning, but we don't know what the plan is. So it was cool to actually see the plans start, like, you know, producing their fruit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're not dwelling too much time, because like you weren't here for a couple episodes previous, but Steve and I were having the talk about how the we're like getting Mike and Gus together was like taking a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like
yeah. It took a pretty long while.
I mean, it should have been obvious, but I kind of was surprised with the Gus thing. I mean, I knew that he had to come in at some point, but I didn't think that it was going to go straight to that. And especially with the tracking and stuff, I thought it was like cops or something. And I'm still not quite sure why Gus was tracking him. I don't think that's been cleared up. Why does he have his eye on Mike to watch him, to stop him?
He was doing it because he was curious as to what Mike was up to, like why Mike was motivated to.
Right, but that's why I'm curious of what made him curious, what piqued his interest, what made him look at Mike, right? And I mean, outside of Hector saying something to him about Mike, I missed it, but I'm not sure, I'm not clear on that one.
Well, the fact that he was going after Mike, the fact that he had shut down that shipment, like he, to be fair, like as like a writer, you get a certain leeway with a character like Gus. But I think it would stand to reason one of the few people who actually cross Hector would be somebody that Gus would be on Gus's radar.
Yeah. I mean, he is a very detail-oriented person, so you know he's going to be, you know, being aware of whatever Hector is doing. So yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I mean, so we get to this episode, and I really didn't know or think that we would see Rebecca. Like, you know, so we see her in the flashback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We see her in the flashback, and the whole, you know, Chuck is clearly, you know, he's trying to set the mood.
Yeah.
He's trying to set the mood, and, you know, and we're not sure at what point, like, what's going on. At least that's what I thought. I was like, I don't know what he's doing, but, like, because Jimmy was there.
Mm.
And, you know, and they do a great job of showing that's a flashback by like kind of flooding the color.
Oh yeah,
flooding the color a little
it
bit.
It looks great. I want to say too, in that scene where when it's really dim, they got the candles and everything, and they're eating dinner, it looks great. And then when you see her pull out that phone, they have the, I don't know what they did with the phone, but it's got this bright blue light.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's so unnatural too, and like it stands out drastically.
Looks like they went into the color corrector three way and they just upped the blue.
Yeah, it must have been something like that.
And it's almost like the like I have one in my house. It's like those night lights. Like if it's completely dark, it's either like a blue or a green, and like when it spreads
like
out,
glows.
Yeah. I mean, so clearly, we see that like Chuck's trying to, I don't know, like win her back.
I think it's something like that. I mean, he even says later on that he's, you know, still has feelings for her. So I think that was him and Jimmy's attempt to try and like kind of get them back together or something. Because I think she was thinking that too, because she was talking about having traveled a lot and maybe, you know, being able to actually settle down and like be able to visit him and stuff. But it is interesting that Jimmy is there, which, I mean, I guess just goes to show how much he really cares for his brother. He knows that Rebecca's really important to her, so he's there to help him, you know, pull the wool over her eyes.
At the same time, I do kind of wonder, maybe it shows how desperate this whole thing ravels out through the season, and even this, especially this episode, but, you know, like earlier on, we saw, when we first saw Rebecca, and Jimmy's, like, telling all the jokes, and Chuck's getting really annoyed with Jimmy. Like, it's like, it's almost like Jimmy's kind of being like the cock block. Mm. So I think it's funny that he's in this desperate situation, and who does he need to help him kind of move things along? It's Jimmy.
Mm. Yeah. Jimmy had kind of, up until very recently, Jimmy had been his kind of right-hand man. So it makes sense that Jimmy's the one helping facilitate this. Also, it's interesting that Jimmy's helping his brother kind of facilitate a lie.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, too, especially with all the stuff that's been going on and the things that Chuck has been saying about mm-hmm. him and how his personality, yeah. and how he'll lie and all these different things. And he's being very Jimmy-like in yeah. this.
It's
in
the
this.
Closest we've ever seen yeah. Chuck to a lie.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he's always about being, I mean, in his own twisted mind, which we actually don't like, but it's like being honorable, mm-hmm. being noble, almost like being too anal to the you know, whatever. But what I liked about this is, because it plays like a secondary character, or like a background character, is the exit sign.
Yeah.
Just like the different shots of, that's what I thought was like good directing about this episode, with the different shots.
That whole, the way they cover that whole court scene, it was just fantastic. It's so many good shots. And that monologue with him at the end, with Chuck, like that slow creep. Until like you don't even realize it's closing up until it's like just his face and he's freaking out, and then he composes himself and realizes, and the camera's like slowly pulls back mm-hmm. out, but you know, by then he's already, you know, lost it. So many good camera moves,
and the sound design there too.
Oh yes,
like you felt the you kind of felt the buzz of the phone. I do have one question, and it comes out more in the case itself, but do we think EHS is a real thing in this case, or do we think it's a fully imagined?
I'm with the doctors.
You know, I mean, it's like a psychological issue where
he's doing it to himself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Jimmy brought it up in the episode to say, hey, and this is what was really nice, is we kind of finally get a revelation of when that he started like having these like weird. These EHS symptoms mm-hmm. was right after he got divorced.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, I don't think it was really revealed to us.
I don't think it was even a thing. I think it... you mean about when it happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you're right.
Because like when we first open up in season one, it's just he kind of just has the condition.
Right, yeah, that's true. We mm-hmm. don't get kind of a timeline of when he went into crazy mode.
And we learned pretty early in the show, too, that it's if he knows the stimuli exists... It's similar to me. I'm not claustrophobic, but if you put me in a box and then lock the box, I'd freak out.
If someone put you in a box?
If someone put me in a box, but I knew I could get out of the box, I would be fine. Second I can't get out of the box, it's claustrophobia
you're aware
versus
of
confinement.
You're starting
the awareness is what makes...
I love that analogy. I love that analogy. Did you guys... should we just go, like, just talk about the court scene? I mean, like, it's like there's such like minor stuff in here, but like the court scene is like just great, and that's what kind of we were all just waiting for, is how like the cross examination, like the great part is seeing, because I was saying this over the last couple episodes that I didn't feel like Ray has had a lot to do yet this season compared to other seasons, or maybe just even last season. I felt like there's a lot going on with her, but now, and I kept saying that episode after episode, Steve's been here, I'm saying like, dude, it's kind of picking up for her, but this time around, it's, you know, we see one of the coolest things that we see is her going up against her old, I guess, Howard, like her old mentor,
boss, all of it. And I mean, she's been with the company for years, and then you have to remember too the pretenses that she left under, right? And that Howard is the one, I mean, really it was Chuck, but Howard is implicit in it as well, that put her down in the hole, so to speak, you know, doing all the bitch work. So I'm sure that there's still some hard feelings there, especially with how hard she's worked for him, him and Gil before. But Howard's face was...
Yeah, I was going to say, what'd you guys think just, of that that interaction, the questioning, and...
It was great. It was, like, it was really cool to see. It was almost like a, like, there was, like, shifting power back and forth because Kim was trying to assert herself, and Howard obviously doesn't really respect her as much as he should. But then there's a couple questions where he, where she kind of, you know, gets the best of him. I think she really did a great job.
Also, to a certain extent, I felt like Howard felt kind of above this. At a certain point, that I think he's kind of doing a lot of this to placate Chuck.
Oh, 100%.
That it's, he's my partner, like, he's my partner, like, I really want to get him on my side, like, maybe he'll come back into the office more and actually do stuff.
Yeah, because he's been pretty annoyed, right? Yeah.
He's just been, he doesn't care.
Well, yeah, and I think it may be even more than that, that he has, like, hard feelings towards Chuck, based on, you know, all the problems it's caused, and especially mm-hmm. recently with this episode when he pulls him aside and he says, do we really need to go through all this? You know, it's my job to make sure the firm looks good, mm-hmm. you know, the PR. And, you know, thinking about, especially when he talked about the Hamlin, him and McGill thing, like, who's the other Hamlin? Oh, it's his dad.
The line in questioning was genius. Yes. You know, bringing up nepotism yeah. and then the reveal to yeah. say, wait, who's the other guy?
Right. The look on the prosecuting lawyer's face was excellent. It was great.
It reminded me of a scene in, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Philadelphia.
Yes.
Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was very similar. There's a really quick scene where it was about why would you send, like, Tom Hanks basically is suing his old law firm saying they fired him for discrimination because he was gay. And meanwhile, like, there was, like, this huge case, and they let him do the case because he's actually the best lawyer, but they kept saying, like, no, he was a screw-up and all these things. And so it was really cool to see this whole, like, well, then who's the other McGill? Well, it's because of nepotism. Mm-hmm. It's like a misdirect. It's just kind of like, no, we just decided that he was just okay. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, but aren't you a...
Yeah, I thought it illustrated their point perfectly of that. I mean, I there's part of me that thinks that Chuck really does love Jimmy and that he really does think that this is the best thing for him, that he needs, you know, some tough love to stop. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Jimmy's not on the straight and narrow. I mean, he does, you know, nefarious things for good reasons, but he does them nefariously. He, you know, tricks a lot of people. That's why we like him. But just to see, I don't know, Chuck's...
Chuck is a dick. He's just, he's know, one of those guys in life that's just wound too tight.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. I get it. I get, like, he holds this thing to a higher power in terms of, like, the law, but this grudge that he has against his brother is on, but I feel like but Chuck is just, it's just like, dude, pull that stick out your ass.
Yeah, I think he's taking it, like, I think same thing as Jimmy. His intentions are good, but he takes it way too far, and just the way that his attitude and the way that he approaches it. And then when he's on the stand and he's talking about, you know, when he finally loses it and he brings up Jimmy being 9 years old and, you know, the parents going, oh, not little Jimmy. Like, obviously he's held on to that resentment of Jimmy being able to get away with stuff because he's a little brother, which I don't think Chuck got the same.
Yeah. Know, and Steve and I are like, or maybe I was like with Zach, the episode this season where, you know, the mom's dying. And her last breath is Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy comes back. He's like, hey, what happened to Mom? And, well, she died. Did she say anything? No.
Yeah.
Like, builds, like, that bigger resentment.
Well, that's
of,
some deep yeah, scenes.
That was stuff. Messed up. That was...
Also, I had to pull up a D&D chart to be sure, but I meant to say that I think Chuck is lawful good. And that I actually... While finding a D&D chart, I realized that there's a D&D chart for Breaking Bad. And that they already have Jimmy/Saul on lawful neutral.
Yeah.
And do you want to know who's in the center for true neutral? Huel.
The surprise guest.
I mean, it's really, really funny as I don't think anybody, I don't care, I'll challenge anybody back home. Nobody saw that coming.
I mean, I knew he had to come at some point because he's thick with Saul. Like, we know from Breaking Bad that he's not just, like, you know, the random security guy that hangs out there, you know, tight. But you're right. I was very surprised until Saul was questioning the veterinarian/illegal goods guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he asked him, you know, does it require him to fit into a tight space? And then instantly, I just...
For you, it popped up.
It just, I mean...
Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No idea. Like, no. although I would think the last couple weeks with Gus coming back and the timelines getting closer and closer, like, because they try to, like, leave you in the dark over, like, when these years actually are, but it's pretty clear now that we're within 3 years of break season one.
I watched an insider interview or something with Vince and them, and they said it was about 5 to 6 years.
Okay, from season one of...
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul to Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
And that technically gives them 7 years because Saul didn't show up.
Right. And it gives them time to... the thing I was thinking about today is, like, when you watch this show now and you start to get to know all of the surrounding cast of what was Breaking Bad, you know, you start to realize, like, how much Walt messed things up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, not that I want these criminals and their businesses to be going well, but there was a lot less violence and it all just kind of went, everything, you know, Gus's business, Hector's business, Mike's business, you know, everybody, even Saul, you know, barely got out to Cinnabon.
Well, my question is this then. Is it too many characters that have been introduced in just this season? It's great. We love seeing it. We absolutely love seeing it. But is it kind of too many? Or does it mean that they're potentially going to have, like, bigger stake in maybe not this season, but maybe next season? For me, I'd want just a little bit of a slower burn. Like, just introducing Gus this season and having... Don Eladio like show up like that would have been good enough for me for the rest of the season. And I'm not saying I don't like seeing Huel, but
I feel like they're ramping up though.
Yeah, it feels like they're all more of the pieces are starting to align. And I don't think that just because we see Huel now that we'll see him a lot,
sure.
But it lays the ground. I mean, Vince is a genius at this stuff. There's all the details are planned out. Everything is planned steps ahead. So when you know. One of the things that makes the show great is those little breadcrumbs that later on you didn't even realize they were connected.
Yeah.
So he introduces these characters, what have you, and then later on it gets the payoff. So I'm sure that somewhere down the line we're going to see more of Huel and him doing more stuff with Saul and stuff, but I don't think it's going to be immediate.
So fun fact for the people back home, I had to read this because like I had to like kind of be reminded like when Huel came in, what was going on with him. There was never a real conclusion on the show of what happened to Huel.
There's a Comedy or Die. It was either College Humor or Funny or Die. There was a sketch called Huel's House.
So I think in one of the things that I saw was is like he's just sitting on the couch in the safe house and is just waiting. Vince Gilligan actually wrote and he talked about it and said basically what would have happened is that you know they that. It would have gone up the chain, so they would have came back and got Huel out of that safe house, except, like, since everything went to shit, he probably just would have walked. So Huel's still out there, so we could theoretically have Huel...
Another Huel spinoff, is what you're saying?
Yeah, a Huel spinoff, or have him show up at the Cinnabon. Maybe. Granted, Jimmy's supposed to be hidden at that.
Although it sounds like he would walk, though, so he would stay in Albuquerque.
But it was fun to see him, and I still, people are probably going to kill me for saying this, but I still didn't put the pieces together that he was going to be putting something in to Chuck's pocket as opposed to pulling something out. At least, because like from the way that it looked at me, like when things were getting set up, is that maybe Chuck, before they actually showed everything, maybe Chuck had the tape. Like from like last
yeah,
episode, like
and
Chuck had the
like
tape.
Switched the tape or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought about that too, and I definitely, especially when they were right about to play the tape and they called for the break and everything. There was a couple different things that I thought could happen, and the battery was not. I was thinking that Saul kept his phone to place a phone on him, and then he was gonna like call it or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of die like can everybody put their phones away and he's just like oh I already left mine
yeah
and
okay. I think they did a great job though.
That was in the realm of possibility for me.
I thought
he was going to try to switch the tape, but I guess if you switch the tape then in because it's not a regular court case, it's a bar hearing, it's an ethics hearing, that if all of a sudden the tape is erased.
It would be
and you're being, and the tape is proof that you were witness tampering or evidence tampering. You're already kind of hurting yourself.
Tampering the evidence more.
You're just tampering with more evidence. So, and I don't think the plan was necessarily to out the symptoms of Chuck as much as it was is that that's my brother and I know I'm going to get him.
Well, I think it was to out the symptoms. I think what we saw this episode and some of last episode was Jimmy's just, you know, he's reached his limit with Chuck. I think he's weighed the value of, you know, how much he loves his brother and having him in life and like all the damage and all the, you know, conflict. And I think he's just decided just to out him because he knows yeah. he's
but I think
not
the
real.
I think the out him was because I was doing a little reading up on EHS and that it's considered a psychosomatic yeah. that the second the electricity exists it's still a symptom. Jimmy was going after Chuck specifically because it was his brother and he knew if he slightly embarrassed him in front of the court and had him think, man, this panel might let my brother stay a lawyer, that he'd flip out. So Jimmy like played his own brother like a fiddle.
I mean, too, what would he do? You know, like, I mean, he was in the mailroom. He's been doing these, like, weird small little con jobs for most of his life. And he finally tried to get on the straight and narrow, and his brother kind of screwed him on that end. But, say, if he got disbarred, too, like you were saying, it's like he's had it. Because the whole thing was, is that what would Jimmy do if he couldn't practice law?
Go back to turning tricks, probably.
Well, turning
which is still a very big possibility that, you know, we've talked about as well in terms of the future of and the evolution of Saul Goodman from Jimmy. But
yeah, what was really good for me was that scene that they had when they took a break and it was Kim and Jimmy in like the hallway. I think they were by like a vending machine
and
or something.
He's eating barbecue chips.
Right. And just the attitude, the look on his face, it was like he just didn't care anymore. He just is all guns out. You know, you want to go to war, we're going to go to war. And he knows his weaknesses and he laid them out one by one. Here's your ex. You're lying about your disease. You're going to go crazy and lose it in front of everybody. And they're going to think that, you know, why we can't trust this guy. You know, why would he tell the truth? It's really cold coming from Jimmy, especially towards Chuck, because I think a lot of the stuff that he has done, even like with changing the numbers, I think he genuinely didn't think it was going to be this whole big issue.
Oh, of course. No, of course not.
I don't think he would intentionally try to hurt Chuck before. But now I think he's going for the thrill. And that's why I think, yes, he wanted to discredit him in front of the council, but I think he also wanted to discredit him with a disease in front of Howard, in front of Kim, in front of, you know, the judge, everybody.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Howard was talking about the PR nightmare of, imagine now.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Well, would this be public, though? I feel like an ethics hearing would stay, like, I'm not saying people wouldn't find out, but I think an ethics hearing would be pretty internal.
I don't think it would be general, like, public knowledge, but I'm sure within the legal community, I think it would.
Absolutely. People talk.
Right.
People talk, yeah. Absolutely.
And especially because they're a really big firm, and there's already this shroud of mystery around him of why did he leave, and, you know, when Kim asks Howard why he left, he goes, oh, you know, I can't talk about that. So obviously they've kept it very hush hush for a long time and they don't want people to, you know, dig into it too much.
No, it was interesting because you just brought up the which reminded me when you brought up about the number switching, was it going to cause this chaos? I thought that it was funny in the flashback, the story that he's telling, the lie that he's making up way before this number stuff actually happens. He's talking about, you know, he kind of sets it up. I don't know if he like actually plants the seed, you know, probably not in Jimmy's mind, but it's like the address, you know, the neighbor is 512 and then she's like, oh yeah, and you're 215. So that makes sense. That's going to happen. And what happened here is Jimmy, you know, just swapped a couple of numbers.
One of the things I love about this show is the intros are always, always fantastic. And they always, it always pulls back to something that is going to happen later in the episode. It always references like the tone and the theme of what the episode will be, and especially this one, it was just you know, like I said already, with the blue lighting and everything, it just looked fantastic, and you really got that feel of like him trying to, you know, fabricate this lie, and, you know, he really went into it, and, you know, saying over and over, oh, the power will be back on tomorrow, blah 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 blah, and having all the guys come in and work on the house and all this effort, and then he just, you know, loses it and then lies to her again when Jimmy's trying to tell her the truth. Just a lot of emotions from Chuck this episode.
Well, Jimmy's trying to make Chuck tell the truth.
Right.
He was like, say something. Because I'm not going to tell her. This is not my place to tell her. Please say something.
And that's another thing, too, is that... I mean, I understand why he would be somewhat self-conscious about it. Mm. But if, I mean, this is your ex-wife, you know, like... I mean, and let's say that it did go through and she never, you know, they never had an issue. She never answered her phone or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Is he going to do this every time they see each other?
Like, or it's not sustainable. Was it just as simple as... I mean, I love how they say how she kept coming into the rooms that he would go into. But it's like, couldn't it be just as simple for you, man, just to go outside?
Yeah, or like get up from the table. Yeah, or I need to go to the restroom.
Go upstairs
really
quick. Yeah, go upstairs really quick and then come back down. Yeah. And you're all settled. You're all dandy and happy with your ex-wife. Or you can, you know, not leave it like the way that he had to just knock the phone out.
Well, and especially, too, because like seeing him in the courthouse, obviously he can walk, you know, he walked through the courthouse. Everybody he walked past didn't take their cell phones out.
Yeah, I was thinking that, right? He's not going to show up like in a horse and carriage.
Yeah, in the suit, right? In his face blanket.
He's like in a Jaguar and there's like reserve parking. I was like, isn't there like a lot of things going on when you're sitting in a Jaguar?
Yeah, and that's one thing I've noticed, especially since he had come back to do the whole thing with the bank Mesa Verde. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of gone from like beginning of season one where he like gets out in the sunlight and he's like freaking out to him just being out in the daylight when Jimmy's getting arrested in that other episode. He's just standing out in the daylight just waiting for the cops. Don't care about the sun. Don't care about other people outside.
And it's probably because he's also preoccupied with
his victory.
Yes, he's so preoccupied that he doesn't have like the stuff that we're seeing. Granted, they can't see it, but we're surrounded by
it. Well, it's the same thing as like him having the batter in his pocket and not knowing. It doesn't bother him, so he's not thinking about it. It's all psychosomatic.
And Steve, that door opens, by the way, man. We're not locked in here.
Are we? Okay,
you're claustrophobic.
Actually, all right.
So okay, so you talked about kind of like the subtle hints in the beginning before we get to like that big reveal at the end. You know, in the courtroom. Do you guys feel robbed? For a couple of reasons. Because we don't have Mike in this episode. We don't have Mike in this episode, which he's been great. Mm-hmm. It's been a great season.
Mike is
for
my
him.
Favorite, I want to say. Mike has been my favorite Overshot. Since Breaking Bad. He is that actor.
Jonathan Banks. Mm-hmm.
What he does with his eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We talked about this last week, right? It's not about what he said. Or maybe it was with Lucretia, too, mm-hmm. where it's just. He doesn't have to say a lot. Yeah. It's just...
And him and Gus together was just fantastic.
I will say we were really Mike heavy last week. We've earned
And there was a lot of build-up to the case. And I think it definitely deserved its own episode. I agree with it, but I miss Mike.
I mean, so do you guys feel that the way that... Because I don't think you and I dissected it well enough last week about the photos. I mean, it was kind of hard, too, because it kind of didn't... really make it sell
what was going to happen with them.
Those photos by themselves didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right. I was trying to figure out who's he going to show them to.
Yeah, and then there was the one photo they cleared it up a bit, but I was concentrating too much on he's just like, oh yeah, you got this photo with the Financial Times, I think, or
oh, he has a
there's like a newspaper.
Yeah. Well, he has like a lamp on
yeah,
a stack
no,
of
no,
newspapers.
No, I know, but I was you know, I was looking for the paper. I was like trying to figure out what the paper
was.
Yeah, the paper meant, not necessarily.
Or if he sent Mike to just steal the tape. Like, I always assumed that was the thing, but.
I thought about that too, but how would he find it?
Meh. I'm sure Mike. That would be funny if we get one line later of just like, I looked for the tape, couldn't find it.
Yeah, well, or.
I think that goes back into the thing of like the tampering with the evidence already. Yeah. If like at that point, if the tape goes missing, it's going to be, you know, suspicious. Again.
It's not really going to clear.
Right. It doesn't. It helps, but it doesn't help mm-hmm. that much. You know, not as much as taking the pictures and showing everybody what his house looked like.
Yeah. Right. You're actually going by the. You're at least like pulling evidence, like how you would present a case, and like that we saw like in this court. Like reveal itself with the whole nepotism, and then what are the other like lines of questioning? They're talking about entrapment, and he says but that's not really entrapment, and what I thought was very extreme is seeing Chuck rehearsing. He's rehearsing, and he's talking about Ted Kaczynski. He's talking about the Unabomber first. Mm. That's the first thought. Become, I mean, a guy who's clearly, like, I mean, luckily he corrects himself.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that just goes to show how far he's willing to go to you know, slander Jimmy's name.
And the fact, well, the fact that he has to rehearse how he feels about his brother.
Yeah.
Should tell, like, I don't think I have to rehearse that. I know how I feel about my brother. So it's really weird that it's like, I like my brother very much. I mean,
I love my brother.
Well, yeah, he's bringing up. I mean, that's the thing, is he's bringing up extremes. I mean, talking about Ted Kaczynski, that's a very extreme thing to say. My brother is Ted Kaczynski, or talking about EHS and talking and giving referrals to AIDS and HIV, which are very extreme, you know, diseases.
Yeah, not apt comparisons.
Yeah, like those things, like those diseases people die from.
Yeah, and like lots of people too. It's not like a small disease that kills people that you don't really hear of. It's like a big, you know, epidemic.
Which it doesn't compare well, because in Chuck's case, it's literally a thing people suffer from, where it's like AIDS people die. Like that's mean.
Well, I mean, it also goes to show like how much Chuck values himself and thinks of himself like above others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in his attitude of the way that he tries to stay relevant in the firm while not being at the firm and still trying to like be the boss while not, you know, actually being involved. It's the same thing with his attitude that, you know, I'm Chuck McGill. I'm the law. I'm the best lawyer. I could never make a mistake. You know, all these things, this big ego that he has.
But I think it's worth pointing out that Jimmy lied to the ethics council of the Nevada State Bar. Not that they could ever prove it.
Yeah.
But he straight up said, I lied to my brother, when we all know that that's not the case. But I think...
Well, because he's doing the comparison. He's doing the comparison of saying Chuck claims to be doing theater.
Yes.
But he's really lying. So then Jimmy's like saying, well then, why can't I be doing theater by lying to him?
Mm-hmm. To make him feel better, because I actually love my brother.
I'll have to watch that back. I thought that was a straight up admission.
No, it was. Okay, it's just like saying, you know, it's technically like what he's saying is, it's like, instead of an eye for an eye, it's like a lie for a lie, I guess.
Okay. That's interesting.
Like, I mean, if Chuck can do all these things to make Jimmy feel that way, then Jimmy can do the same thing to make Chuck feel better.
Yeah.
And to discredit the tape, because he only needed to discredit the tape.
Right. He just needs a little doubt. I'm not surprised at all, though, that he lied to them. I'm sure that he's lied to people at the bar before.
So the big twist is the nut punch is bringing Rebecca.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how you like the setup at the beginning. Did you see her being the twist coming in, or did you think it was going to revolve more around Huel?
I actually didn't. I was curious what was going to happen with Huel, because I was thinking that was, especially when once we saw him in the hallway and stuff. You were with me when I watched it. I was like, yes. But no, I didn't. I was actually surprised. And I was surprised that I was surprised, because I should have known from the setup that she was the one that they were waiting for. Especially when he said, you know, she'll be here in like 40 minutes. Should have been like flying, something like that.
I wasn't thinking too much about it when the 40-minute thing. But it makes complete sense.
It makes complete sense.
She wasn't even on my radar.
Good. Okay. Great. I'm glad that at least with this panel, they can call us dumbasses, I guess. But I'm glad that I'm the same way. We heard it.
There's so much going on in the court scene too. Like, because before, like they got started, you have them examining Howard, then the cross examination. Like, there's a lot of things going on that you're not. I wasn't even thinking about the intro. I'm like sucked into what's happening in the courtroom. I think they did a great job misdirection that way.
Yeah, for me, like, that intro was just about showing the relationship of the brothers and how loyal Jimmy has been to Chuck. Most of the time when we see the Jimmy-Chuck dynamic, it was always because Chuck was sick. You know, he was having some sort of breakdown because of his disease, like his supposed EHS disease. So that's where you see Jimmy. But in the beginning scene, it was about helping Chuck get like the love of his life back, or trying to We haven't really seen like that dynamic of their relationship. Yeah. Because the last time we saw it, as I was saying at the beginning, is it was Chuck getting angry at Jimmy for making those whatever. Hey, what do you call an attorney that does, or what do you call a lawyer that, you know, like they're making all those jokes, and Chuck just seemed annoyed the whole time. So yeah, it was like good misdirection. But and even with the morsel of, yeah, she'll be here in 40 minutes. Or we're just too obsessed with like seeing Huel.
Yeah, I was like, please be Huel, please be Huel. But yeah, I also thought it was really interesting too the way Chuck handled it, thinking that he could get the upper hand, that you know you're not gonna unsettle me, Jimmy. This doesn't bother me at all, you know. And he goes to talk to Rebecca, blah 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 blah. And then you know he makes his own confession of there he goes, he outed me. This is what he wanted, blah 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 blah. And he's thinking, oh, I foiled your plan. What are you going to do now? And Jimmy plays it perfectly. He's not smirking. He's not like, that was some of the best parts, was that the whole thing with the battery, like that whole time. I mean, I knew something was going to happen, but if you were just observing, you would not expect it. He looked not defeated, but he looked like it was not going his way. And so when he pulled it around, I was, you know, pleasantly surprised.
See? And I think this also proves that Jimmy's the better lawyer. Which is the least thing Chuck wants.
We talked about this with Zach. We talked about this with you. We talked about this with Lucretia. We got Nate here
but
now.
But that's because what makes a good lawyer?
What are the parameters you're setting? And then I'll object
I'm asking.
I will categorically shut them all
down. I'm asking you. I think 100% Jimmy is a better lawyer.
Yeah.
But I think it's not because he's better at law. I think he's smarter. I think he's more conniving. And I think he's willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Like just the way that he does those commercials, it's so smart.
And
like,
the fact that he's lawful neutral versus lawful good makes a lot of a difference in and of itself. That there are things someone who's lawful good won't do that someone who's lawful neutral will do.
Yeah, it is. At the end of the day, it is a job for him.
Yeah, Steve, I think you were here, right, when we had a conversation about Jimmy is probably the more talented lawyer in terms of like what he's able to like pull off, whereas Chuck is the smarter lawyer, but he's by the book, you know. So like you were saying, like Jimmy kind of bends the law, I mean, to get things to go his way.
Yeah.
And that's a talent.
Yeah.
That's a talent.
I feel like Jimmy will win above more odds than Chuck. But I also think Chuck is smart enough to not wind up in bad spot.
Yeah. Chuck is not, especially in the position that he's in,
Chuck won't wind up in terrible spots like Jimmy does.
Yeah.
But Jimmy can get out of a terrible spot.
Right.
I guarantee you Chuck couldn't.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel cheated a little bit? Like the pictures were just pictures? Just, oh, here's this picture. Does it look like do you think it went along? Or was the twist better that Rebecca walked in and that was like the nut punch with the battery?
That worked for me. That the pictures were just pictures.
Yeah, I think they did their job. I mean, it's one thing to say like, oh, there's foil and stuff on the walls and everything and everywhere. But then to show like pictures of his actual house and like what it looks like. It's like it's pretty, you know, pretty damning.
Although that's one of my greatest fears is for people to know how I live. I don't just think in your head right now if you were in a court of law and someone surprised you with pictures of your apartment.
Well, and especially when you're like a hermit too, and that's like your electromagnetic free palace.
Well, that's an extreme, but also it's like he puts bread in the freezer. Who does this?
I put bread in the freezer.
No,
I
also put it's oh, yeah, less no, that's, longer. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No, that's normal. That's not crazy.
Plenty of people find that crazy.
No, that's another show. They call that The Real World. That's another show. That's not this show. That's another show. It's called The Real World, which is still going. But, yeah, I very very satisfactory for a episode 5.
Yeah, I think it was a good midway episode.
They didn't dwell too much on it. They took us right there.
Yeah,
I think it's
had the good curve of enough of a build up to make it mean something and have some tensions and feeling, but not so much that you're just like, okay, when is the next plot point gonna happen?
And I think the midway point is the perfect time to settle up the thing that ended the season prior, which is what we did today.
Correct.
Is that this end of season 2 did not actually get settled until the fifth episode of season three.
Right.
I like that. No, I like
and
that.
Now
I like
we get
that.
To see the fallout of what happens in the second half of the season.
Well, and we got a whole Mike episode, and like the Mike stuff. I think the Mike stuff is going to take center stage now.
Oh, I think they're gonna.
Yeah,
because it's been a while. I mean, they did the little jobs for each other here and there, but they haven't really been involved as much as they were like when they were out in the desert. You know.
Yeah.
So what takes us into predictions?
Yes.
There we go. There's my Roswell. My Roswell lights.
I just love the way you did that. Predictions. Where are my predictions?
Steve?
I think the next five episodes will be a commingling of Jimmy working with Mike, working with Gus, sometimes working with Huel, to come up against Hector Salamanca. I think that's the gist of the next 5 weeks. I think at some point in those 5 weeks, Jimmy's going to burn his name through those associations that he has to become Saul Goodman.
You think this season that's
going to
happen?
I think by the end of these 5 weeks, he's going to become Saul Goodman. And for a show called Better Call Saul, I think season four is a good time to maybe start seeing what's referred to as Trippin' Jimmy. But Jimmy McGill becoming Saul Goodman and becoming the wacky commercials guy. And we're also going to get something, because the current timeline Saul Goodman collapsed at a Cinnabon. We still don't know what happened. Like, we're going to get another black and white flash forward, I guess.
But that's always like the beginning of every season, right? Like, they don't do that anywhere else.
But, like, they do that.
Well, they did a couple. They did the one in, I think it's episode four. Was it the last one where he had the kid in the... The kid was stealing, and he pointed him out in the photo booth.
No, but that was in episode one.
Well, was the
beginning sorry. Was that the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Do we get these at the end of the season? I feel like we get these at the end of the season, too. Am I making that up?
I think so.
I think we get the black and white flash forward at the end of the at episode one and episode 10. So our episode 10 has to be, if we're dealing linearly, where, like, does he go to the hospital and then have to tell... Does he go to the hospital and have to give them the sheriff's number? Because that's always, when you're in witness protection, that's always a whole thing that you can't...
But he's not in witness protection.
He's not in WITSEC. He's just hiding.
Oh, man, that's even worse.
Yeah. Because all the crazy crap...
That's why it's
crap
scary.
Went, yeah, I had to go back. I had to go back and watch to see when he took off. But
you're right, he's not in... Yeah.
Yeah, it's when he's like telling that's Walter. Even more. He's like, dude, I'll be lucky to be in Nebraska at a Cinnabon, you know, and sure enough, he's like, you know, he looks at his license and it says, like, Nebraska in Breaking Bad.
Oh,
so, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess he has to go to an ER and hope his fake ID works. Maybe they figure him out. Maybe maybe someone we meet in the next 5 weeks comes and finds him at that hospital.
I don't think we're going to get that much plot out of those flash forwards. I think it's more of a juxtaposition of, like, you know, what we know happens later and kind of seeing, because obviously we're looking in the past to how he even became Saul. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of like just a reflection on the character personally. I mean, I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it going that way, but I'm hesitant to think that they're going to develop much of the ethos post Breaking Bad timeline.
Agreed.
Outside of like a whole new show or something. But I mean, we'll see.
They're going to have to explain why he collapsed and what happens.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. There's.
I mean, Nate, what your prediction?
I mean, I have to disagree with you with the Saul name. I don't think that's coming this season. Maybe next season. I think it may not. We may not even see it until that may be like the end, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think things are going to heat up between Hector and Gus, which I'm very excited for because I think there's going to be some violence and some tense crime stuff with Mike, which is always great. I definitely think we're going to see Mike and Saul link up, like we said. I'm not sure if we're going to see a lot of Huel. I think that was more of like a cameo that we may get a call back to later. But most, I'm really excited for what Chuck is going to do because I think that Chuck is not going to like just go, oh, you won. You know, it's gonna be bad. And I want to see what Howard is going to do too.
Howard,
I want to see his reaction.
I think Howard's going to knock Chuck down a couple pegs.
I think so.
Because I think Chuck is going to try to appeal and like, move forward. And it's going to be Howard who has
and he's going to say, look, we've run the course. We tried, you know, enough dragging our name through the mud.
See, my prediction is that Howard's done. He's like, dude, we did everything like that we were supposed to, this is stupid from the get-go, mm-hmm. and now you look like an ass, and I warned you about looking like an ass. So I think he'd just be like, let me buy you off, and just they'll just become like Hamlin and Hamlin, or like they'll keep the name but just say like, dude, just you're done.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I think that might happen too.
That's my prediction.
Yeah,
I think like that would happen if Chuck doesn't drop it. I think Howard's gonna give him a chance to drop it, and
I
Chuck
think he
won't.
Might like die.
I think he's
something.
Done. I think Oof. That
I think,
that whole...
I think some kind of accident or something is gonna happen, or like he's gonna freak out or something of that nature. I think there's gonna be something that permanently removes him, because that's the only thing that's gonna stop him, right? He's never gonna be like, all right, you won, Jimmy.
Well,
he's
yeah.
gonna give all of his resources and everything.
Or he just has a psychotic break. Or he has a psychotic break
and then
loses
it.
And then
yeah.
Jimmy
and
has
they really
to
commit him.
And then Jimmy yeah, like has to commit him.
Yeah.
And then, Jimmy gets that house.
My last prediction I want to say is I think that we're gonna see more of the Mesa Verde stuff. I don't think that plot line is run its course. I think there's more there with Kim. I don't know if it's gonna be she loses a client in some way or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I've been half and a half about that, because I was thinking that she was gonna get so distracted with this
that
she was gonna lose them, but they kind of wrap this thing up so she's not as distracted anymore.
Right.
And they kind of covered that at the beginning of this episode right. where the guy was like, "Let's go to dinner." Right. You know, I hate guys that hold grudges, so...
I think that scene is telling, because she told them there was no tampering. There was no tampering, but if you need to back out, you need to back out. But I think Chuck, with his last vengeful, vendetta-filled act, might find a way to play the tape for Mesa Verde. Yeah,
which would cost Kim the client,
yeah.
which would hurt Jimmy... a lot.
Yeah.
That's one of the...
That's a good...
That's how he gets to her. To him.
In spite of how he couldn't do it in the court of law, he would still find his own justice. And then he would come off with a big moral speech of why it was right. And I'm so sorry, Kim, but you stood by the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And like... he would find a way to make that right in his mind.
Yeah, I definitely think there's got to be some bumps in the road with Kim, because they've just been too happy together lately. Things have just been working too well.
Yeah, I've been waiting for the demise.
There's like, got to be.
Yeah, I was waiting for the demise. All right, so, Steve, where can everybody find you?
Right here and right now. But also on my Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. Also on Snapchat, but I get real weird on Snapchat.
Nate?
Hey, guys. Nate, of course, Nate Miller. You can find me at DogLikeNate on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. And I'm here. I'm not on any other shows yet, but hopefully I will be
glad to have
soon.
You. We're glad to have you. And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHung. And we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Better call you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.